Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us. You are live at Al-Bayan Studios. We're joined by our dear brother, Jamal Nasuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I was about to say Jalal there because I'm always used to saying Jalal, subhanAllah.
Everyone gets us confused.
We can call him our official technology guru. And inshallah, we're going to be speaking about today technologies in regards to medicine or advancements in technology in relation to medicine. And what's important to understand is not necessarily most of the technologies out there, unless like invented normally by doctors. This is like a group of people. We're talking about engineers, talking about IT, talking about, you know, I remember my, what they call biomechanics teacher was an engineer.
Yeah.
And he would ask us some questions like, what's his joint called? Because he was all about physics and motion, right? But he knew he was very limited knowledge about the human body.
That's fine.
You know, so he was all about speed, velocity, motion, and things like that. So he'll be like, oh, what's this movement again? In which plane in it of the body? Because the body has different planes, and we'll tell him, or what's that joint again? So even though he was teaching us, but he was teaching us about mechanics. So mechanics is one thing, engineering, biomedical engineering, mechanical engineering. Physics, and it comes to a whole range of different professions which benefit the medical field,
yeah,
in a
yeah.
sense. Like if you look at prosthetics, someone we know has a prosthetic that's picks up the senses of the body, and it's, you know, what they call above knee. So it's got the knee joint and the ankle joint, and it senses when you're running, it senses when you're walking, and adjusts it. Now that, you know, is not necessarily made by a doctor. This is an engineer.
Yeah. And the making of those prosthetics, like Alay Barak Fik, you were saying that in podiatry, the insoles are now printed. Like,
yeah, so that's a new, and that's just not with insoles, that's with a lot of prosthetics now. It's more versatile. The problem with 3D printing was the strength of material. Now they're doing out of nylon, which they're pretty much making everything.
Yes, subhanAllah. You know what I mean? It comes in powder-based. It's powder-based, yeah. And then it's
and crazy. Nylon is industrial, commercial-grade strength material.
Look, from a technology standpoint, sometimes I look and see what's coming out in the IT world, and I think, wallahi, this could be so beneficial in other realms. Like a while ago, and this is years and years back, about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even more, Microsoft came out with this HoloLens. We briefly had a chat about it. Before, and you're asking what it is, it's pretty much a lens or glasses or a contraption that goes over your head, and it introduces augmented reality. So not virtual reality. So it changes your current, it augments your current reality.
So you see your wall, but they might incorporate a window.
Yeah,
in your
wall. And so what I was trying to do is I worked for a white goods manufacturer of electronics, electrical dishwashers and fridges and air conditioners. And I wanted to put these in shops with limited floor space so that you can walk into a blank room, put these on, and you can interact with all of the products.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, now, and doing some research, they're starting to use it in medical learning.
Yeah, that's right.
And virtual reality and mixed reality, it's
they put it all together.
Yeah, SubhanAllah.
We've in saying that, like with medical technology, I was doing a little bit of research. I found that when you want to talk about technologies in medicine, that can go back, it actually takes it back to the Egyptians, 950 BC, where they make prosthetic toes. Allah. Out of leather and things. And during the time of Prophet ﷺ, they narrated some companions had a nose made of gold.
Allahu Akbar.
Reason being, gold was very malleable as a prosthetic. So that's considered to be, at that time, advanced technology. Some of the other things I found interesting, the stethoscope, you know, where he puts it on the chest, that was designed in 1816.
Allahu Akbar.
But you know what I found surprisingly why it was designed for? Technically, the doctor can put his ear on your chest and listen. So they consider it to be inappropriate for the man to put his ear on the woman's chest.
Ah, subhanAllah.
So it was originally designed for the purpose
to keep the modesty.
Yeah, yeah.
And the interaction.
I remember when I was younger that the doctor used to lift up your shirt to chest to check, yani, when we were kids.
Yeah.
And then they brought out a law, or they, you know, started becoming not so needed. And so it was wrong for the doctor to do that. So subhanAllah, technology has come a long way. And the difference, I think, between your field, the medicine field, and the medical field and IT is that the speed of uptake. Like, for instance, peptides, we're only hearing about peptides now in football, and yeah, you know, but they've been around since the 50s and the 60s.
You'll be surprised. Like, some of the things I've got for you is very interesting. And mind you, the biggest technological advancement in medical history, believe it or not, guess what it is?
What's that?
Patient records.
SubhanAllah, and dealing with them, or?
Yeah. Allah. Because, and this is only recent. It's only, so what I've got here is.
Is that with your My Health Online? And then, you know,
everything. Remember, like, you remember as a child, your doctor would write on books.
Mm.
They said in the early 80s and 90s, and in the 90s, they integrated computers in the practice, but mainly appointments.
Yeah,
you know, even medical scripts for medication were all handwritten.
I used to work for a company that installed Medical Director when it first came out.
Yeah,
it was a collecting of informations and
yeah.
And
so stuff. 2010 was really where things took off, where most people integrated. But you got to think about, like, medical records. It has to speak to other services departments. And now, when you go to some hospitals, actually keep two. They keep your physical records always as a backup, and they keep your medical records. But still, they haven't even completely moved over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
See, also the difference now, I think in the last 5 years, but also projecting in the next 15 to 20 years, there's going to be a massive change, or there's a massive change is happening in terms of the medical industry. And the reason for that is that now you're getting hospitals, the IT departments, or IT information technology companies, device companies, so device makers and whatnot, and biopharmaceuticals joining, you know, banging heads, trying to come up with solutions.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was medicine, and the doctors would go off and come up with solutions. Whereas now it's technology sort of meeting medicine.
Yeah, and it's always been in a way where, you know, the doctor has a purpose to diagnose and treat the patient, but sometimes he needs the tools to be developed. Like, the doctors that make his surgical tools,
yeah,
maybe a couple of hundred years ago, maybe, but companies now make the tools that he needs. In a way, in saying that, like we have mentioned medical records, they want to get it to the point that, for example, someone is in a car accident, for example, and is inside an ambulance. By the time he gets to the hospital, because they have, like, they call a swap over, right? What a swap over does is, the ambulance guys tells the nurse or whatever what's going on, that as soon as he gets there, his medical history, his records, everything is already present, checked.
Mm, rechecked.
So, and he's taken in straight, knowing exactly
what's happening, yeah,
what's happening, what's going on. Now, that might sound simple, but one doctor might have this information, one doctor might have
it's
that
a
information.
Process.
It's a big process.
And you learn that, you know, you start to get insight with that stuff with the first aid courses,
yeah,
in how to collect information, how to pass information, yeah, on to
panel. So my health, I think, is the sort of the start of that, where it collaborates. And moving doctors. Now, if you want to move to a medical director was one you mentioned, that's a game changer, because if the doctor does a mistake, it flags.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he prescribes a medication, comes up a warning and says,
Wrong medication. You can't mix medications.
And that's presents like a safeguard. Oh, patient is pregnant.
Yeah.
Patient is breastfeeding. Okay, it gives them notifications. The other thing too is, if a doctor's swapping doctors, it's click of a button.
What's your take on electronic records? And, you know, there's a lot of people that have issues. I'm sort of in between. I'm not either way. But in terms of, like, you know, information being online and who the information's available to, you know. So,
I think it's got its advantages.
If insurance companies in the future get a hold of this stuff and they say they try to use your data against you falsely, because, you know, we know insurance companies aren't usually the most honest.
That among, like, we've just to let people know that when doctors have these type of MD programs or whatever, they're on a local server. With a million firewalls.
There's also regulation to
yeah, and they have to,
especially
keep,
medical.
Sorry. You have to upkeep it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, one of the medical centers I work at is a guy coming in, an IT, coming in, always checking, always making sure the internet is separate, masalan, to the server that that supplies this program to the computers. Everything's backed up constantly. In saying that, doctors have passed away and their medical records have vanished in a way. You know what I mean? And it's happened too. So some people have lost their medical records. So we advise people, keep your own medical records, keep your medical records up to date. But at the moment now, it's looking like the electronic records is the way to go.
And you see that countries are approaching this in different ways. Like, for instance, there are some countries, and I think it was in the UK. So what this company was doing is that they were doing something similar to My Health Record, but what they were doing is giving you control of it. So you have an app on your phone and you say, okay, I've got My Health Record. I'm going to give Dr. Amar my access to my records, but I don't want this doctor to have it anymore.
Yeah.
So what they were trying to do is, as you're saying, put the patient in control of their own data.
Yeah.
In the past, what we've seen in the past, like for instance, the manufacturers of medical devices don't have access to the patient.
Yeah.
They only have access to the hospitals, to the doctors.
Yeah.
So that relationship didn't exist, where it's now it's sort of that gap, that gap's being bridged.
It could be, like I said, an advantage. The other thing too, which is very, very important, is a lot of people go to the doctors and there's a type of syndrome where they actually forget important information to tell the doctor. Like the doctor says, do you have any allergies? No, I don't. Yeah. But they do. Have you ever...
When you get off the phone...
Yeah, what's your medical history?
When you debate with somebody, you leave them, you're like, oh man, I should have said
that's
this.
That's what happens. Before they leave, oh yeah, by the way, I've had a hip replacement. Okay, that's important because I'm sending you for an MRI, for example. You can't have, MRI if you've got a metal object, you know? So what ends up happening is that a lot of times people forget even the medication that they're on.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's very, very important... Seen her putting it on silent. It's very important that a person sort of understands that in a way it could be good, but that is one of the biggest advancements. And mind you, it's taken a long time to actually be adopted. And even till now, doctors are still handwriting scripts and handwriting notes to a certain degree. There are some still around like that.
And as you were saying, in terms of, medication that's been taken you and I briefly chatted about this offline. One thing that I was really impressed with, like a while ago, I saw a presentation when I was at an IT conference by this company that's developed a new product that's started to mine a new product, and it's not very readily available. There's only small deposits of it around the world. But it's like carbon. It's called, I'm not even going to try to remember what it is, but it's similar to carbon. It's really strong, really flexible, and very highly conductive. But so what they started using is nanotechnology within the body. So now what nanotechnology is, it's any technology that's smaller than 100 nanometers, nanocubic meters or nanometers. And what one nanometer is, it's 1/1 billionth of a meter. That's how small these things are. I mean, this is phenomenal. So what these guys now have produced is a chip that you swallow or a device that you swallow. Small, you probably won't even see it. This is a 1/100th of 100 nanometers is like you're not gonna know which one it is. You know how much how you're not gonna be able to see it. Well, I don't think you're gonna be able to see it. But when you swallow it, it stays in your stomach. In your body. What this thing does is every time you swallow a tablet, it'll detect when you've swallowed it. But what it also does is it detects your body's how your body metabolizes that drug. And so then the doctor can properly prescribe for you. So let's say I'm going to, and just for me, instance, I don't understand anything other than painkillers, for instance. If I take painkillers, I'm very sensitive to painkillers, but my doctor doesn't know that. Or I'm not sensitive to painkillers, you know. And so the doctor can work out the right dosage. And subhanAllah, there is things that they've developed even now in terms of computers to better detect genes. So a person's genomic sequence and so in cancer patients, they work out how to treat and what this patient will better respond to via Customization, but via gene analysis. But it, so this thing doesn't take weeks to analyze, and that's the beauty about it. It takes like days.
Well, medicine is always, like they say, you know, 5 to 7 years is normally the time frame of a valid sort of research, because, you know, even when you're referencing research or you're referencing articles, medical articles, you have a time frame, and anything more than say 10 years is considered to be outdated, because medicine is changing so much. But a lot of people don't realize that technology and medicine is not just now. We're talking like we've got things now, but imagine you had nothing, right? 1895 x-rays, first x-ray was taken, right? Imagine that. Like, what do you mean? You can see my bones?
Yeah.
Like now it's nothing to us. Back then, like, you can see my bones?
Yeah, subhanAllah.
The health freaked out someone would be.
Yeah.
Hearing that, they probably think it's some fake news or whatever. 1940s was things like the pacemaker.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean? Something that zaps my heart to put it...
to get it in the right rhythm.
In the right rhythm? This is in 1940s.
SubhanAllah.
1956, Jarvik 7 was the first artificial heart.
Allahu Akbar.
That's 1956. Yani, an artificial heart that's going to pump? I think it was a little bit later before they actually...
used it.
And they used to have an electric wire coming out of the, because no batteries.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
You know what I mean? But 1956.
Now it's powered by the blood pumping, or it recharges itself or something. Does it need a battery, or does it need a battery?
But I don't know. It's so complex. There's something there. I think there is something still battery related, because it is like a turbine that pushes blood. Incubator. Hasn't changed. The same incubator that we've got today, look a bit different, whatever. Take a guess of what year? 1880.
Allahu Akbar.
Imagine that.
That I can imagine, because I remember when we were younger, we had like chicks from the market, and you used to, you know, put it in a little box, in a little box with a light.
Yeah.
That's kind of like an incubator. Yani.
Yeah, it is, in a way. Back then, before an incubator, they used to tie the premature baby to the mother to keep them warm.
And that's what really amazes me, and sort of why the next 10 years, 10 or 15 years is like so, it'll be different. Because the medical industry, like this nanotechnology, it's been around since the 80s.
No, like I said, there's been
but
around.
The medical industry is so meticulous in their testing, and yani, I don't want to get onto vaccines and stuff, but I'm going to leave that. Maybe it's
something, I'm going to touch onto that. It's very interesting.
Maybe something you're going to touch onto, but they're really, really meticulous. And when they start getting into a room with IT people that are sort of like, you know, turn around quick, do something quick, it's quite, it's sort of very interesting to see what happens. It's like, you know, when two people meet, you know, this person's the slowest person to do things, and this person's the fastest person.
Well, I'm
going to
give an example.
And gets bored easy.
I'm going to give an example why.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, I'm going to give an example why they don't do that. And it's because of, there's certain things of history. Litigation and responsibility and things like that is the most important. Kidney transplant, first one, 1953. The first kidney transplant.
SubhanAllah.
I think it was a 13 or 14 year old boy that took a kidney from his mother. CT scans. I thought CT scans are new.
But, you know, could you imagine being that person that, anyway, Allah protect us all and protect the Muslims from these things. Like being that person to be the first ever that your son is sick and, you know, someone comes and says, but hey, we've got this revolutionary, you know. Yeah,
now it's the same as like someone's losing their arms and now they're translating their arms or their face. We'll be freaked.
SubhanAllah.
Like, we're going to change supply a new kidney. SubhanAllah. CT scans, 1971. MRI is considered to be like new technology. First used to detect cancer, 1977.
SubhanAllah.
So things have been around for a while.
It's amazing. Technology companies now, like that, the DNA project, the DNA, using the nanotechnology to analyze DNA and work out treatments for patients.
That's all goes back to what they call the Genome Project.
You know who's doing that? IBM. And this is what gets me now, that technology companies are seeing a space where they can, I guess, benefit themselves, but also benefit the world.
Well, there is, like I said, there is a big relationship. Thing is, all these things used to be analog, right?
Yeah.
All these things used to be run analog. X-rays, for example. Mind you, the films are actually a lot better than the computerized and the printed out. But in saying that, it comes to decreasing in quality versus what's the word? Practicality. You know what I mean? You don't have a surgery with 1,000 x-rays just lying around, films everywhere, everything on computer. You don't have to go to your specialist carrying a bag of x-rays that you've had for the past, you remember back in the days, your parents go to a specialist, take a whole bag of, you know?
Yep.
And the doctor has to go look at each one to see what it was and when it was.
So now they just look at the reports.
Yeah, reports, oh, everything is there. Comparisons are all there.
And it's transferred online. Like, everything's online. When we had to go see a doctor for my son, it was all telehealth. Obviously, now everything's telehealth. But the doctor had the scans and the report, everything online.
And that saves time, because go to the doctor, oh, you don't have your scan, I need this scan. Can you go back and get it? Make an appointment another 3 months before, you know, you can go back. So that has made things a lot easier. Here's one's going to blow you away. Here's one that's going to actually blow you away. When was the first vaccine developed? 1796.
Allahu Akbar.
Edward Jenner. There was a condition called smallpox.
Allah, no.
And there was, or what he found is that he injected people with cowpox. It made people have immunity. Cowpox was like, it didn't really have a serious effect. But by doing that, it led immunity to smallpox, which was more serious infection. Cowpox had another name called vaccinia, which...
Now we use the word.
Subhanallah. So that's where the word actually vaccine comes from. In 1978... That's when they started to really develop that vaccine for smallpox. Anthrax, which is a serious bacteria infection. We hear it now, terrorist attacks, anthrax. Anthrax outbreaks, anthrax was in soil, is in sort of in nature. It's a very deadly bacteria infection. Vaccine was 1904. Cholera was 1897. Plague vaccine was late 19th century. Tetanus. Tetanus is a very bad
infection. I remember they wanted to inject me with a tetanus needle in Lebanon when I was younger. Ran away.
1923.
Subhanallah.
And diphtheria, 1926. And others like measles, mumps, and rubella, and all those other ones. They were early on, and polio came in.
Rubella is the one. Is that the one where they had the mark? They've got the marks on their hands. You know, our parents, they've got marks on their hands, and they said it's from vaccine when they were younger.
Yeah, I think so. Measles,
could you imagine these days that if the vaccine left the mark on your hand, what people would do?
But the thing is, back then, mind you, some of these vaccines from 100 years ago are same vaccines that exist today. Like, not much has changed. In the vaccines. But in saying that, vaccines have been around in medicine for a very, very, very long time. It's not like a new medication. Like, a lot of the medication of our day and age that we're using, some of them have been around 10 years, 20 years. Chemotherapy, how long has that been around for? You know what I mean? It's been around for a while. And the knowledge has been there for a while. So a lot of people say, how come for corona, you know, you're so quick for use to develop a vaccine? Well, meningococcal was 1950s. That vaccine took 4 years. So you're telling me in 70 years' time, it's going to take us more than 4 years? At least.
Look, we talked about the technologies today. It's part of like, even that, you know, I have a few more points on carbon, the nanotechnology. Like, they're using carbon, nanotechnology, to do carbon... muscle reconstruction. If you've severed your muscle, or severed tendon or whatever, they can reconstruct it with this carbon. They're doing, they've got this new type of sponge that they put in a person's body that's getting radiation, cancer radiation therapy. And it soaks up a lot of the radiation and reduces the effects of radiation on the body.
They're doing crazy things.
But you know, I've got a question for you, all right? We're at an impasse. I believe we're at an impasse, all right? Technology and medicine. Medicine's meticulous planning and testing, and technology's, you know, quick turnaround, high profits. I see that companies produce, like LG, for instance, they do imaging devices or imaging products like MRIs and CT scanners and stuff like that. LG? IBM.
GE.
GE? LG as
GE.
Well. GE. GE. GE, General Electric, also IBM now, and I'm sure there's plenty more doing, you know, all these weird and wonderful things. Where does technology now start to become dangerous? That's where, from a technological point of view, from my background, and you know, the biggest issue with technology has been information. So, data privacy and our information. We talk about my health record, and a lot of people, even my dad, I remember, or somebody was saying to me, don't do it. Yanni, they have access to your information. I signed up for it. Yeah, I agree with sharing data, and I'm all pro technology and whatnot. However, look, you know, how do we balance this? Yanni,
the question comes, how private is your information? You know what I mean? How private, like, sorry to say, but majority of the brothers you know around you, you know about every medical condition they got. If anything, go to Facebook, people put their medical conditions online all the time. I had this, I got that, I got that. Some people put the whole story from beginning to end online. So the question is, what information do you want people to know? What information you don't want people to know? I think that's the line. So if you're able to hide the information that you don't want people to know, and have the information there that you want people to know, I don't think that's really the issue. As long as you have that, you have the actual balance. Because at some point, I don't want anyone to know my information. What do you mean? Your whole world is on Facebook. Every appointment you ever had, you've put it up.
All of our information is supposed to be what's the word? It's so they take any identifiable data out. And they use that information and they sell that information. They're supposed to. But that was like, they were supposed to do it, but when the whole Cambridge Analytica issue came up and the whole Trump voting, you know, that didn't happen, because when they started marketing, they marketed directly to people. So what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to take the identifying data away from your information and then use that or sell that on. I think that the biggest hindrance to all these technologies is privacy. Yanni, I'm all for it, don't get me wrong. I'm the first one to sign up for these things. I think it'll benefit people greatly. Although I was very disappointed when I went from one doctor to another, they couldn't transfer my data off.
Hello, privacy laws, especially in Australia, are very strict. I don't know if you realise, but in the census, when you do your census, it has at the end of it, would you like your records to be available in 99 years' time, and you got an option, yes or no, and you can tick for every single person.
For certain things.
Australia is very, very strict when it comes down to privacy, to the point that you can sue if someone breaches your privacy. For example, I got a letter to release information to an insurance company, and has a signed declaration by the patient that authorises that. You know what I mean? Transfer. And the email is one line, but the declaration is two pages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there is a lot of emphasis when it comes legally in regards to information. But the problem is, I believe, the problem with us is that we always just tick the box that says agreed and don't even look at it. We don't even care.
Time to read it?
Well, I think
Apple, you know, Apple, they took, I don't know how many lawyers, I think it was 7 or 8 lawyers of the best lawyers in the UK, to come and read their privacy statement and their contracts that you agree to. It took them, I don't know how many days, like it was a ridiculous amount of days. And you know what they came back with? Oh. We don't understand it.
Yeah.
This is what we're coming up against. Like, we, the layman, the layman in terms of reading contracts, like the lawyers didn't know how to read it. How are we going to know?
Yeah, it's true.
But this is where I think that legislation hasn't caught up. Yes, privacy is the privacy, especially around medical and your medical data and the medical field is really good. That the policies around them, but the loopholes in terms of contracts with private enterprise, with Facebook, with Google, with your Apple Watch. You know, Apple Watch now has a ECG. You can do it. You know, see if you're having a heart attack. If you've got a little pain, you can just check it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the technology companies are now in charge that we've signed up to these agreements. We're not going to read it. It's difficult to read until the government starts to, you know, have enough power. And I say enough power. You know, if anyone doesn't think I should use enough power. I don't think the government has enough power against technology companies. Look what happened with Facebook. Look what happened with news. Facebook and Google, they said, oh, you know what? You're going to have to pay if you're using news, whatever. And Google said they're shutting Australia out. And they put messages at the bottom
search engines.
They are companies. People have to understand something. They are companies and they're in for a profit. They're not here to be your friend. There's no thing as Facebook is my friend. They're not here to be your friend. They're here to make money from you.
They're here to make money, but we talk about privacy and we talk about freedom of expression. We talk about, you know, for instance, here at Al Bayan, Facebook pages have been closed down. For what reason? We don't even know.
Yeah, but that's
their prerogative. But this is a form of social isolation.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of if you look at a certain group that's been isolated or been taken off, not saying that that's what's happening, but what's saying is they can easily do that. And wrongfully, if they don't have the right mechanisms in place to make sure that doesn't happen. They, like, for instance, when they cut out Australia, when they, you know, went head to head with Australia and they cut out Australia, people's businesses were going to go people couldn't advertise anymore. People's businesses relied on Facebook.
And this is the problem. This is the major issue that I see. The major issue to the point that, as if people cannot live their lives without Facebook. And Facebook, to me, I look at it as you have the internet and you have Facebook. Yani, Facebook is its own entity. It's its own web, you know, and that becomes a problem. And the only reason it's become like that is because of us. That's the reality of it. For every human that signs up, gives it strength, feeds it. And this comes back to a warning of every believer. This is me. This is my personal choice. Look at Facebook as a country. Facebook is pretty much, apparently it's worth more than some countries around the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it has more power and influence than other countries. And this country is giving you a passport to enter.
Mm.
For you to enter, you must agree to the rules of this country. Knowing that this country can turn on you anytime. The government can turn on you anytime. This is exactly what's Facebook. If you've decided to enter.
It's not just Facebook. Look at Visa, MasterCard. Look at your payment gateways. Yeah. There's a private enterprise that wanted to go a certain direction. I think they wanted to go public. The payment gateways said, we're not going to support you because you have one or two anomalies in your setup and it caused some issues with these type of people. So what you have now is technology companies, payment gate companies like Visa and MasterCard dictating social issues.
Yeah, no,
what's acceptable, what's not acceptable.
Of course, something that's very, very important is this is not the first time. We used to have magazines. You know, before internet and that, you had subscription magazines, right? They used to sway a lot of public opinion.
No.
You know, you subscribe to a certain magazine. Most people will subscribe to some form of magazine. And in those magazines, they'll send them out once a month or whatever. Some of those magazines were political. Some were, you know, sporting, whatever. They were influencing a lot of people. That's why people pay so much money to have some advertisement in there.
They say a lot of Murdoch's power, and that, you know, Kevin Rudd now is going and having a go at what Murdoch does in his.
Yeah, influence is, I believe, in one way or another. You know, it was newspapers, Then it was, you know, oh, back then used to be the messenger boy that used to go tell the news. Then it was newspapers. Then it was magazines.
Before then, it was the lady that used to gossip.
Oh, yeah, the gossip lady. But that's how things progress. And it's obviously people like action. This is something important. If it's not action, if you're watching a movie, there's no action. There's always a climax, right? People like action. People like the gossip. People like the vain talk, the suspense. You know, there's a joke that someone says, are you a curious person? And the person says, no. He goes, okay. He goes, I got a joke, but I'll tell you tomorrow. Right? Automatically, guy starts to get curious.
Yeah.
So curiosity really plays on a person too. But in saying that, I believe if you decide to step in a world, it's just like you stepping into a country. You have to take whatever comes. And you can't sit there. Like, I've had brothers come to me and say, brother, Facebook banned me. They have no right to ban me. They took me off. They took my account. Problem, this yeah. and that, whatever. We say, listen, I said to him, Akhi, you're in their house and they kicked you out. Do you own the house? Alhamdulillah, the thing is.
Look, on that point, I think I'm very, it's a really like a big issue for me in that I believe that if Facebook wants to be such a big player in people's lives, they need to be accountable for certain aspects. In terms of, social isolation, or in terms of, you know, what people have access to and what people don't have access to, you know, swaying people's
Facebook issues, you know,
decisions.
Do you know how many deaths Facebook is directly responsible for?
Yeah, look, 100%.
We're talking about either them, you know, someone bullying someone else, them taking their life, be it someone. I'm talking about direct relationship between what happened on Facebook or whatever,
yeah,
equaling someone losing their life.
And this is what I'm talking about. We're talking about policy, and this is what sort of led to this, that government policies are not up to date and they're not up to scratch. In terms of privacy, yeah, maybe, but there's loopholes for these private enterprises.
But sometimes the government, I tell you what, government sometimes hold back. Look at this small thing. It wasn't about a policy. It was about them saying, we're thinking about maybe, possibly, like we're just discussing. It's not law, but we may charge you a small fee for having news content.
Yeah.
That's all they said.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Google, Facebook said, boof, one click of a button.
Yeah, that's it.
And you know what? I believe they held the government because that brought them to the table for negotiation.
But this is the thing. These people are the pharaohs of the world.
That's
today.
It. Well, that,
like, look at what they push on you. They push agendas, whether it be whichever way. Yani, مثلا, in terms of Islamic issues, is more specific. In terms of the greater societal community, whether it be you know, other social issues in terms of marriage
whatever it is,
parts of the community.
If you want to take it back to the medicine and to the medical world, just the fact that it allows so much misinformation, even though it says that we are addressing this or whatever, to allow so much misinformation that someone can go up and say, take, you know, ivermectin as a treatment for COVID.
Yeah.
And to the point now, there's so many people in overdoses. The fact that it allows that, and it can tag that word and it can do whatever, but it doesn't. Why? Because it's like saying, I'm going to protect your child. You're coming to my childcare center. I'm going to protect him. Look, there's fences. Everything is soft or whatever. As soon as the child's in there, you chuck them in the back and you go inside.
And look, we've definitely been programmed, or people are starting, the youth have definitely been programmed in what you see is the truth, what you hear is the truth. Like GameSpot in US. Have you heard of it? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Did you hear about what they did? On Reddit, they same started creating big hype about this company that was going bust. Yeah, and it was failing, and they made so much hype that people kept buying and buying and buying, and they just drove the price up. Yeah. And that's the power of social media today. Yeah, this is why that governments need to legislate some of or hold the technology companies responsibility.
You can't even regulate the people. Things, this crosses borders, it crosses nationalities, it crosses across. It's very hard to regulate. And like you said, at the moment now, unfortunately, the power is with, and again, we're on our topic, technologies. We're talking about technologies and in relation to medicine. Unfortunately, I do have they do have the power. That's you can't.
Yeah.
And the ones that are giving them the power is us.
Yeah. And it's our reluctance to pay for services like that.
Just to move on, so we don't take too much time.
No.
Modern day, I like some things that I came across as modern day advancements in technology. Have you heard of the Da Vinci surgical robot? It's actually used in Australia.
SubhanAllah.
It's a robot.
Is that does remote, surgery. Remotely, yeah? Does it remotely? SubhanAllah.
Doctor sits in like a cubicle. The thing is like...
And is that because like what they're working on is too small or very small that they need robots? Or
okay, what it is now they don't make incisions. They put little cuts and they put the arms in.
Keyhole.
And don't forget, back before, the hand of the surgeon would have to go in. Now you can do all that just by little.
Yeah.
And the movements are so minute, you know, that you can do really intricate stuff. I think it's used at Stratford Private, I think. Hospital.
And what, like, they, like, for instance, in terms of remote working and...
It's not really remote. The surgeon is there. He's just in another room because I think the nurse that I'd spoken to that said that she works on that machine, she says if there is a complication or whatever, the surgeon has to get in there and actually do the procedure himself.
So like open it and open up. Yeah. SubhanAllah.
It's like you can't just rely in the machine. And it's completely controlled by the surgeon.
SubhanAllah.
Full controlled by the surgeon. It just allows more intricate work and less... and so they use it mainly for like gallbladders and, you know, things like that. Small intricate stuff.
When my son, Allah Yahmi, hurt himself, we were camping near Bega. So it's like 6 hours drive south of Sydney for those who don't know where Bega is. Very nice place. We went to a hospital in Bega. He had scans in Bega. They got sent to Scotland.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
They got assessed in Scotland and sent the results and a report got sent back. SubhanAllah. And that was like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Because that's another thing too with technology, SubhanAllah. Pill cam. Apparently you swallow a pill, it's got a camera on it.
Oh, SubhanAllah.
they use it, apparently. Continuous glucose monitor. Now it's a smartphone.
Yeah.
They stick it in, it stays in there. You tap your phone on it, it gives you a reading.
Yes.
And I think every 2 weeks you change it.
SubhanAllah.
It's amazing. iWatch.
iWatch? What? A watch Apple. That gets. Apple, yeah, SubhanAllah. Yeah, that's right. The medical stuff that's on wearables now these days, like sleep tracking. I've got a Garmin. And it monitors sleep, REM, different stages of sleep, oxygen.
Even if you pass out, I think there's a setting on some of them. I'm not sure about the Apple Watch. It does an emergency call.
Yeah, the Apple Watch when
GPS
they fall over.
GPS pinpoints exactly where you are.
And you can set, even cameras these days. Like, you know, you buy these Ufi cams and the what's the other really famous camera? Smart GoPro. Camera. No, security cameras.
GoPro, no. Oh, anyway, yeah, and a Swan or whatever.
Yeah, similar to those. So they like if you fall over or there's somebody crying, it detects, and it's, you know, then you've got an option if somebody cries, what to do.
Apparently, it even picks up falls too.
Yeah,
which is amazing. So that's part of technology and medicine. Stem cells, that's something new.
Yeah,
you know a bit about that.
Stem cells. I've been doing some research about them. For something a little bit, something that I've been looking into, but it's still regarded as experimental, and a lot of people are doing it. A lot of people are benefiting. It just goes to show how meticulous the medical field is, or medical industry is, that this thing has been experimental for years and years, and people have been benefiting for a long time. But there's, obviously, all the I's and all the T's. The I's haven't been dotted and T's haven't been crossed.
Australia's got the strictest approval process. The TGA can take, so if something is, say, you want to bring a new medical device from China or from UK or whatever, I think it takes an average of about 5 years.
SubhanAllah. And even like the vaccine, like the COVID vaccine, Pfizer, wasn't approved by the
But the whole world already took it, and we're still scratching our heads. I told you, America now is vaccinating.
They've just approved it.
Moderna now is just approved.
Moderna approved for 12 to 16.
Yeah,
Moderna's and Pfizer was approved like recently.
Habibi, I'm telling you, America's now finished humans. Now they're vaccinating the animals in the zoo. Halas, like, there's no more. Yeah, I'm being serious. They actually, because apparently animals can catch the COVID. They started vaccinating the animals in the zoo. And he finished from humans. That's no more humans.
Maybe they're scared of mutation now if they're catching it. Allahu
Akbar. So now they're vaccinating the animals. So now we're just starting now. They're already done and dusted and finished and opened up. And UK's opened up and China's opened up. And all these countries have opened up. And we're still...
I remember old mate ScoMo saying it's not a race. You know, we shouldn't...
Oh, no, it's a race. But, you know, we do have the stricter. We do have among the strictest approval guidelines ever. For anything. In saying that, you know, alhamdulillah, technology allows the sharing of information too, which make things a bit quicker. Doesn't change the process, but you're allowed to... See, a lot of people say, oh, how come these vaccines were approved so fast? Well, Pfizer, for example, was so confident that it was the right vaccine and the right ingredients and dosage and everything that they started stockpiling and producing while it was going through the trial process.
But Ahmad, the application, so the mRNA vaccine was developed and was being used, but it's only in this application against COVID that they had to test, is what I understand.
No, they were using it for other coronaviruses.
Yeah, so they were using it for other things, but it was only for this situation or this disease that they needed to
Every product, every medicine, even though if it's similar based, it doesn't need to go through approval. If it's a new, for example, for a new antibiotic or whatever, it needs to go through the whole process. But what they'll do is they'll say, okay, stage one. They finish stage one, they'll do a bit more research, then they'll go through stage two. Then they'll do stage three. But technically, stage one could be 1,000 people, stage two could be 5,000, stage three could be 10,000, right? But technically, you can run them parallel if you wanted to get it done quicker.
Mm.
So what the vaccine companies did, because it's urgency, matter of urgency, they overlapped trials, and they already started manufacturing the vaccine. As this was like a gamble for them, you know, they started producing. So once they got the approval, the provisional approval for it by FDA, the vaccines were ready to get ready to ship the next day. Not get the approval. Okay, now it's going to take us another 6 months. But they ran a risk that if it didn't get approved, those vaccines get chucked out. You know what I mean? Because they're not approved. So that's how it made. Remember, we said the meningococcal vaccine in the 1950s took 4 years. In 1950, it took 4 years. We're talking about a vaccine that the whole world is focusing on, and the technology that we have today is not like it was before.
And I see that they also the I was doing some reading obviously before this segment, and now that the technology companies also involved, there's a lot more DIY. You know, we talked about the ECG that's on the Apple Watch, but you know, there's this new technology called photoacoustic imaging. So it's no radiation, it's less invasive than other methods, but it works on lasers. So it heats a body part and then cools it and heats and cools, and it works out the difference in terms of how they expand and contract, and then it draws a picture from that. But these things are so small and portable that people can take it home and people can use it at home. There's even blood test kits. So, you know, you used to go to a place to get your blood test done. And as, you know, the population expands and explodes and goes out of, you know, millions and billions of people per country, you've got to sort of start thinking about these kind of DIY applications.
Well, how big is an ultrasound machine?
Massive.
Ultrasound has different heads because you need different frequencies for different levels of the skin. I've got a ultrasound, it's called a Butterfly IQ. It's a handheld.
Yeah.
Just connects to your phone or your tablet.
But it's for a specific application.
Well, not anymore. You can actually adjust to any frequency.
Allahu Akbar.
And it's got specialized chips.
There are companies that are developing ultrasounds for home. Like I saw this ultrasound to hear your heart, your baby's heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been around for a while. But this one thing is, again, one ultrasound for one specific purpose, for, you know, superficial, for example, or musculoskeletal, or, you know, deep tissue or nerves. Each of them have a different frequency. And the what determines the frequency, if you ever seen an ultrasound, one's got a round head, one's got a long head, one's got a curved head, one's got a straight head. They have like six or seven of them connected, and they choose the one they need for what area they need. This one has it all, and it's actually like groundbreaking technology.
SubhanAllah.
So things have changed, and this is, someone can buy this a lot. I'm not sure, but they can, you know, probably buy it online, and, you know, but then you need the knowledge of how to read it.
No,
you know what I mean. So that's another thing that you got to sort of educate yourself on.
But still, with the introduction of AI as well, like if they put AI in the mix and add it, you know, put it to a computer,
100%.
And then an AI reads it and says, you know, go a little bit left, a little bit right. Yeah, this, yeah, that's,
but sometimes it's like looking at clouds. It's a bit hard to.
Yeah, I understand.
Figure it out. I can understand there's some things. Yeah, it can be utilized.
Like, you know what. AI, we're talking about AI, self-driving cars. Do you know what the biggest issue with self-driving cars is now? And the stumbling point that nobody's been able to solve? I don't know if it's been solved in the past few months, but last time I checked, nobody's been able to solve. If you're at a traffic light and something changes, two people jump out in front of this car, an old lady and a young man or whatever, and it has to go left or right, it can't avoid. It's got to hit one person. What does it do? That is the stumbling point, because the technology company or the company that designed the car could be held responsible.
I think it just have to be like a, what are they called? An algorithm of possibility of chucking a random number and then just...
Yeah, I don't know.
Going that way.
It's rolling a dice, so to speak.
No, like it's, everything has limitations. Even when it comes to technology... there's actually no such thing as you know, like random generating. There's no, they can't. It's impossible to have a random generating machine.
No,
it's impossible.
It generates it randomly by selecting numbers.
There's no such thing. It does not exist. If you were to do it randomly, guess what you'd have to do. You need to. You can have an algorithm, but you need to start with a randomized number. So some machines that need to go full random, what they do is they monitor the temperature outside, because that always gives a... It just needs one random figure. And then from that puts them through a very complicated algorithm and spits up another number. But that number is affected by the temperature outside, for example.
SubhanAllah.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because if you got a box, doesn't matter what coding you do, you cannot produce...
Yeah,
because
it's a program. It's a computer program. Yeah, that's right.
Even
that's
though it right. may assume to
it's
be
It's got to have rules. It's got to have set.
It's got to be has commands. So to do that, that's how they do it. Or they look at humidity in the air and they... And just, it needs a random variant, right? A random stimulus that changes randomly without... You can't put it on a graph and figure out why it's doing that. Like, you know, like temperature, you don't find the curve. You know what I mean? You can't predict tomorrow.
Yeah,
what it's like. You could say maybe, possibly. How many times they say, "Oh, it's sunny and it's freezing." They can't predict it. They try to.
You know, SubhanAllah. You mentioned this, and if we're going off time, let me know. I watched this thing a while ago on YouTube about probability of human beings being created and randomly coming into existence, as the atheists say. Yeah, so. I'm going to say this number. This is, you know, I don't remember it 100%, but let's say 10 to the power of 24.
Billions, trillions, yeah, whatever.
So what they started to work out, they looked at skin and the skin cells, and they said, what's the probability of skin cells being a mistake or being randomly created? And so I think it was like 10 to the power of 4 or whatever it is where it becomes impossible. So in mathematics or numbers, maybe there's a mathematician online and they can put something in the comment section, that there's a number where something becomes impossible and has to be direct and has to be intentional. And so at that point, it becomes like ripping up a paper and into like hundreds of small bits, throwing it onto the floor and randomly, we're talking about probability, randomly it coming back in the same position it was originally, right? So they realized that this thing was 10 times that improbable amount. So it had to be direct, this skin. But what they also found in their research is that the cells that bind, so the product or the thing that binds the skin cells together was even higher than that in probability. And it was like ripping up a newspaper, I don't know how many times,
doesn't stop.
Throwing it up and getting it right three or four times in a row. And that's where, and subhanAllah, I was watching that, I was just fully amazed.
And the thing is, that's it. It's how complicated are computers, and the human being is more complicated than that.
Mm.
Think about it. You know what I mean? They compare us to computers, and computers are still, even now, virtual reality, right? Reason it hasn't really taken off and whatever is because you really still don't feel you're in virtual reality. You still know that you're not there.
Yeah.
When you dream, right, you actually think you're there.
No.
And your brain is doing virtual reality when your eyes are closed. Like
poof. And they still can't work out what
sleep
is.
You got your eyes open and you recognize it's not the real world. Your eyes are closed and you got virtual reality from here. Like, you know, that's one of those, you know, those boof moments, yeah. Exploding moments.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reality of it. That's how far... Like you can never compare the human. Even when you look at a robot, they got a robot that walks like a human. If you really look at it, you go, it's just not there.
It's not. Look, they've got like robots for certain purposes. Like they've got so Tesla now is creating a robot, a droid, they're calling it, that helps and has information and connects to the internet, and you know, they've got like in, I think it was one of the UAE countries, they had robots that serve food. They take plates to the table.
There's a company called Boston Robotics.
Boston Robotics, Boston Bio.
Something like that. Something
like that.
But their robots are pretty cool. They really do backflips and everything. But when you really
do backflips, they dance.
But when you look at them, you can tell they're robots.
No, that's right. At the end of the day, what they're trying to do, mimic the human body.
Yeah.
But they also carry out certain tasks.
Have you seen the videos where they, I think it's, you know what they call like bloopers? All the some like you know how they got the robot going upstairs. Apparently, it does it like 150 times before it gets it right. Yeah, and it keeps crashing. It just shows you videos of it keep crashing until they get it right. So again, and even when they get it right, it still crashes after that. You know what I'm saying is, that's how complex the human being is. If you want to really get into it, we can get into a couple of things that will blow your mind. But maybe that's a different program. The Inshallah. Miracles of the human body. Inshallah. There are some things. In your body, if you only knew what they go through, like my son, just the forces that are placed on there, it'll blow your mind. It will completely blow your mind. In regards to something that you mentioned about approvals and about things like that, if people have time, watch the documentary of Theranos.
Theranos.
Theranos, T-H.
No.
All right. Theranos was a company, I forgot the lady's name. She's going through actually now court now. Theranos, what was her name? Yeah, Elizabeth Holmes, right? This Elizabeth Holmes, she idolized Steve Jobs.
Mm.
So she started to actually talk like him, dress like him.
Oh, no.
And she wanted to be a
every time I imagine Steve Jobs, I imagine him in that brown jacket.
Yeah, that's what she used to wear. Put it in. You'll find that she wears a skivvy sweater. Whatever, jumper, long sleeve. Anyway, she idolized him. Anyway, she developed this company called Theranos, right? And what Theranos is if you take one prick of blood, you know how for diabetes,
no.
Put that into a machine and it give you your blood reading test.
Yep.
So it was like, for those that didn't want needles, for those that have to do tests weekly,
yeah.
Let's go to the pharmacist, click, prints out a report. Develop machines.
Maybe. Yeah.
Now, she got investors, and we're talking like big time investors.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. This
$9 billion.
And it was like just a hoax.
Yeah.
It was a big hoax.
$9 billion, right?
Yeah.
From the beginning, there were people coming out saying, you know, it's not possible to get that much information from that small amount of blood. So she had a production lab, this and that. And the vice president, Biden, now is the president. He went and he done a tour of the facility. The whole thing was just a stage set up. What they were doing, they had this new machine. And then because the army people, the defense invested into it. Why? Because if a soldier gets injured or whatever, they can have that machine in the helicopter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Click his blood, put it in there, and you get his blood reading straight away. Yeah. You know what I mean?
She sold it to the world. Like everyone, she was on I think it was Time Magazine or Forbes or something like that.
And how long did the company go for? 11 years.
Allahu Akbar.
Yani, how long was she fooling everyone for?
And she was like going around and talking at events. Yeah. And wow.
Do you know what it was? And the company was like in a lot of pharmacies. Like, what happened is that when someone would send the blood to their labs, they were using the traditional normal laboratory machines of today. They'll dilute the blood sample and then just take a normal reading from a normal machine and then send out the results. But the thing is, when you did that, it gave crazy results. So over time, people, like one guy doesn't have diabetes, all of a sudden he's got diabetes.
Wow, subhanAllah.
Other times, doctors look at the report, go, man, you should be dead with these things. Other people with conditions come up saying normal. So until the employees that were working there, the ones that got fired, the ones that left, whatever, they started to expose the company to the point that it got shut down by the...
Dr. Amar, we've got a comment online from our brother Adnan. Thanks for this discussion. I agree, community is too skeptical on most things. Although it's good not to rush into things, it's not the best to be skeptical and be too into conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that comes to the middle path for everything. You know, that's the reality of the whole situation. A Muslim always should go in the middle path. But people have to understand something very, very important, Jamal, when it comes down to technology and medicine and things like that. What drives sometimes technology is medicine, in a way. And it's not as easy as just coming up with an idea. Like, we're talking about renal dialysis. How long has it been around for? You know what I mean? We're talking about things that took a long time to be as an accepted part of of medicine. Why? Because human beings in general have a reluctant to change, right? They're reluctant to, you know, new technologies. That's why when big companies come out, like concept cars, right? When a concept car, when do we ever find concept cars? What's a concept car? When a company makes a unique special custom car. Some of them, you look at it like, bro, if that car that was in production, I would buy it.
Yeah.
But the reality is, the reason it's not in production is because the company knows it's too far away from the previous model.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
And people don't like change.
And sometimes they eventually get to that look.
Eventually, but there's maybe 20, 30 cars in between.
No.
And that's happened a lot with car companies that have made these cars so futuristic that, like honestly, like even Tesla hasn't really even picked up.
Mm.
You know, how many people you know has a Tesla? 2, 3? It's not like a common car that you see on the road.
Yeah, you see them more often, but yeah, you're
again,
right.
It takes a long time for people to adopt.
Another issue with that, obviously, is what people are saying now is government policy. In terms of making more charging ports available.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot. So you make an electric car, but you need the charging ports.
Like you see a lot of people going around on those scooters these days.
Yeah.
You know they're illegal in New South Wales?
Are they?
You get a fine if you apparently police are supposed to practice due diligence and they don't fine you if you're not doing anything silly, but you do get the odd police.
Yeah.
I did that. No, I had one. That's why I looked into it afterwards. Yeah,
you'll be surprised. But it's like with that, it takes a long time for people to adapt to things, right? Remember the prohibition. America said, no, alcohol's banned. The people went crazy. Until they changed their mind. Like, all right, emergency, I'll take it.
I'm sure they went crazy. They empowered the mafia. Islam was the only religion or the only movement to
do it successfully. And that because it was done in obviously stages. Why? Because the Prophet and even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the Quran was given in one go, yeah, you will see people turning away.
Mm.
And the Prophet said, yani, to the meaning that if you were given it, then you would you would reject it and you would turn away. sometimes a human being, his change needs to be gradual. When it comes down to the medical field, x-ray, bro, you know how much radiation you're taking from x-ray? We go take it. You know, if x-ray was invented today, no one would accept it. What do you mean? Radiation is going to cause, can cause cancer. But we come to a point of acceptance because we grew up taking an x-ray. We grew up, you know what I mean, doing this and doing that. Mm. We grew up with these things. I remember when I was growing up, putting metal in someone's joint, a hip replacement, knee replacement. Bro. Yeah. That's Bionic Man. Remember Bionic Man?
Yeah.
That's Bionic Man, bro.
$6 million
Yeah, it's hectic, bro. Putting out age now. Like a guy walks in the hospital, gets his hip replacement, a few days later he's out.
And yeah, that's it. And walking, they're expecting to walk almost straight away.
And they're proud that, oh yeah, I'm going to get a double knee. And that's how all this talk.
Bro, you know, double knee, you think about that. They chop your bones.
Yeah. Have you seen a video of it?
No, I don't want to see it.
I advise people that if you're into horror movies, you might even get scared of this one.
Oh, wow, my God.
Habib, you think a surgeon is meticulous and he gets his little scalpel. Habib gets him in shot and like a, wow. He's, like, he's cutting the bone. He gets a mallet. Tools that he, for woodwork. Because he has to hammer the rods inside the bone. And he's pulling the leg and then it's not locking in. He has to pull it and cut the other bone. He looked like that. Like, man, what's wrong with this guy? But Habibi, bone is like concrete. Literally, there's like little, there's saws. There's like what they call renovator saws, vibrating saws, everything you can think about. But they're just made so towards the medical field. But yeah, you'd be surprised. But again, like I said, it takes a long time, but the thing is with technology and medicine, and I think this is an important note, is even though all these new things are coming out, like stem cells, we've been hearing about it for ages. It takes a long time for it to become part of mainstream medicine or to become accepted or adopted in medicine.
And you find that, like with those kind of things, you know, those new advancements, you find that there's a lot of opportunists that come out first in terms of trying to draw the, you know, trying to get people to take this new medication. And as it sort of progresses and there's more research, you get the more reputable firms that start to come out and start, you know, doing these until it's finally approved.
I feel like even with technology, there could be groundbreaking technology, but it may never even hit a hospital or a center.
Mm.
And that could be a variety of different reasons. One, because of, again, people's trust. Two, could be cost.
What about peptides? Like, you know, you look at the peptides in football, for instance, and I did some research on peptides. There's this product called BPC-157, and that's what they used in the, you know, that whole Stephen Dank-ish, you know, thing in the football and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's what they used for them. You know, people were sort of doing ACL tears and the body was recovering, or they were recovering in no time, almost no time. Because what they did is they extracted a protein from the stomach, from the lining of the stomach. And you know, when you like bite your tongue or something, it heals quicker than other parts of the body. And that's apparently because of a hormone that you've got in your body or a peptide you've got inside your stomach that accelerates healing and promotes blood vessels and whatnot. So they inject it into other areas and that area heals quicker.
That's been around for years, but...
That's been around since like...
Not necessarily peptides, 60s or 70s. Like we're talking even... Yani, Egyptian times. Yani, what it is influencing or tricking your body to have a response to something. You know, sometimes they take platelets... From blood
similar to cupping. You cup, you tell your body to do something.
Put it back into the infected area. PRP, I think they call it. Prolotherapy is another one. They get glucose or saline. They inject it in. That causes an inflammation response to your body. So it's the opposite of anti-inflammatories.
No.
You don't want to get rid of inflammation. You want to cause inflammation. And there is a lot, and the ulama I was talking about it, and what you mentioned falls underneath Islamically as transplants, where you take cells from one part of your body and you put it into another part of your body. Like you might take cartilage, muscle, and from
grafting and stuff like that.
Here we go.
There's a brother. He lost his thumb, and they took his toe and they.
Oh, subhanAllah.
They stuck it here. And the brothers haram, they always tell him, like, you know, yeah, how's it feel having a toe? Have you ever stubbed your toe? But yeah, because having a thumb to grab things, to hold things,
like, very important.
Try to do things, try not to use your thumb. Like, if I want to grab that, that's how I'll grab it. The thumb, this is actually something the human being has, is the actual thumb. That is more important than your toe. So they actually took his toe and they implanted it. So you're taking one cell from somewhere or one thing and putting it somewhere else. That's a type of you know, might not look at it, but it's technically classified as a transplant. Mm-hmm. But with your own body. And people do that a lot. You'd be surprised. Especially burn victims, people that, you know, lose their, like, fat pads and things like that, like, in their hands, they would get them out of other parts of the body and inject them.
Well, now, that's what they're doing with stem cells. They get your fat cells and they extract the stem cells from fat cells and re-inject it in other parts of your body. SubhanAllah. And even, like, they're doing plasma replacement therapy.
Well, now here, they take your hair, I think, from the back.
Yeah, hair plants.
They
hair
grow planting. It. Or I don't know what they do. And then they I like the Arabs, but they've come up with a name. Zara. That's a name they've come up with. Literally, like how you plant seeds.
But they're doing that with plasma. Now, plasma replacement therapy, they're spinning up blood, extracting the plasma from the blood and re-injecting other parts.
That's what we did, the PRP.
Yeah.
Before that, they should just do straight blood, you know, injections. But because the plasma actually contains the T cells, or blood cells, and things like that.
Yeah.
So, like I said, there's a lot of things in medical advancements. But what you find surprisingly is that the original inventions and breakthroughs and technology of medical advancements in the past, they haven't changed much. Machines look better. They're probably more digitized or whatever. But the concept of how masalan the dialysis works is the same. The incubator is the same.
Mm.
All these things, X-ray, it's the same. You know, it's the CT, same concept, the MRI, everything's the same.
Yes, apparently.
And it's just amazing because what we see now in 20, 30 years time, again, it just might be just the norm. You know, it might be, you know, a person getting an arm transplant might be just.
But those technologies are still amazing. Like ultrasound, for instance, sound bounces off parts of your body, and then the scanner reads it and then maps a picture.
I think they got it from submarines.
Yeah, it's used like that as well. Fish finders and stuff like that.
World War II, they were using that on submarines.
Apparently, you know, apparently one of the Japanese or German boats. I think it was Japanese. They covered the submarine with like a rubber material so that the sonar wouldn't detect it. Yeah, and they pop up until they finally found it out. I think
there was one of those movies, I don't know if they're real, they used to play whale sounds in the submarine. And the other army would say, oh, it's just a whale. But I don't know if that's true. But in saying that, in defense, just for those listeners, also defense and wars has actually progressed. Also medical technologies.
No. When wars happen, it progresses technology and the medical field. And sometimes, like, I was, when I worked recently at this place a few years ago, there was a guy that worked in defense, that was a project manager. He said that in 2007 or two, I think it was seven, he worked on a project to read number plates. The camera's reading number plates. You know how now we've got them. We've got those cars on the side of the road only, you know, a year or two ago. They had it in 2007. The military also come up with these
someone
technologies.
Tell me, like, speed cameras, and they were invented ages ago. Mm. I think someone said in the 50s or 60s, you know. The radar for speed or whatever. Kaman, Allah Alim, when that was invented. We think everything got invented when the phone got invented. Didn't I say to you? Yeah, I said to you on the phone today, a phone that can send emails and fax and whatever. It was like 1993 or something. 93 like
was
that.
A computer, but yeah, so 93. Phone didn't come from until.
There was a Nokia that sent.
What was the first phone you got ever?
5110.
5110. And mine was an Ericsson.
Ericsson? Those colorful flip ones?
I don't know what it was. I think it was a knock. I don't know. Allahu alam, I forget.
Maybe you had to code in your own ringtone.
yeah. Sahih.
Oh, the good old days. Let me have a look, because this is, I remember it to be a phone that would open. Nope. Read emails. Maybe I'll look into that, inshallah, another time. But it was, yeah. But the thing is, the reason never took off because the people weren't ready for it.
Mm. No.
You know? Even until now, if you speak and you need a report from an imaging company or whatever, alhamdulillah, some of them have moved over to digital. Some of them were only fax.
Like back in the time that the iPhone came out, Nokia came out with a 40 megapixel camera. 40 megapixel. This was when... When did iPhone come out? It was 20 years ago.
Mm.
They had a phone that was 14 years, 10 years, 15 years ahead of its time, but it was too late. Apple already, you know, started with their iPhone.
Yeah, got it. Found it. The Nokia. If I show you a photo of it, you'll remember, because I know I knew someone that had one.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Yes, I remember those.
But what was it called? Had a name to it. Remember banana phone?
Yeah, I remember the banana phone. As far as, you know, and then they started getting swollen and the snake game came out.
Oh, yeah, the 9110. It was the 9110. Remember it very clearly.
Sort of similar concept to Samsung's folding phone now, yeah?
We had a folding phone before, bro. But yeah, never took off. I remember someone used to have
remember the
one.
Motorola Flip?
Razr, that was the first thin phone. But the 8810s, they completely destroyed the market.
No.
Do you remember the 8810? They were the small ones.
Yeah, when they first came out.
SubhanAllah. Maybe the gold, silver ones.
Then they gave the 80, is it 8810 or 8850s?
Remember how paranoid we were about? Oh my God, a phone that you can actually change the cover.
Yeah.
That was like... That was a revolution.
Unbelievable. Everybody had to have the gold one, remember?
Now, I don't think anyone cares what they... You can't even see your cover.
You can't even see.
Can't even see your color.
It's the case that we choose the bulkiest so we can protect it because it's so worth so much.
And then you used to put those little antennas that used to light up when it
used
to ring.
Yes, subhanAllah.
Over them.
And then you had the little things that hung up your phone that used to light up with the GSM signals.
So all that progressed... And then it was like the bigger screens, the Blackberries came out. Like, oh my God, the Blackberry, the O2 phones came out with touch phones. But then it came in, they weren't popular.
Apple killed the market. Like, you know.
Well, the thing is, when someone made a phone, because there were some smartphones before Apple, it was like how ugly it was not pushing numbers.
Yeah.
Not, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is now, scrolling and internet and social media, come in, it's changed the game, subhanAllah. Looks like we're going down a different path of technology.
No.
So comment, what was your favorite phone back in the days? Was it the 5110? Was it the 6110? Was it the 3310?
It was the bigger one, the one with the bigger screen. It's still green. The one with the bigger screen and bigger buttons. 5110.
I know, I remember there was the 6110, there was the 8810, there was the 8850. Because those back then, back in the days, that was something. Then you had the Ericsson, what, N97 or 71s or something?
It wasn't 6110, I think it was a 5110. Khair.
5110 was the famous snake game. can't find it.
Yeah, it's the 5110.
5110?
Yeah, 5110. Back then, and then you got the smaller one, 8850s. And
those were different, man. I remember, those days were like...
But do you remember towards the end, they had like video conferencing on it? You could video call the Nokias, and then Apple came out, and we didn't have video calling for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it was just the apps, I think, on Apple and the attraction of 3G. They used that a lot.
Yeah.
Really,
bigger screen
really blew up, subhanAllah. But then again, go back and have a look and understand that technology, how it's actually changed over the years. And some things existed even before. Like I remember having a type of a smartwatch that you can make calls and stuff like that from.
Remember the remote control watch?
You know, our teachers in school. And you can only get it from Lebanon. See, back before, yeah, back then you could, there wasn't get, you online. There wasn't where you just want to buy something from America. Had to buy it. You had to wait for a relative to go to Lebanon. Like, can you get me
and a remote control watch? I think they were illegal in Australia or something at one stage. Yeah,
they didn't exist.
No.
I'll tell you a story, yeah? An auntie was going to Lebanon. Please, auntie, we want the remote control watch, this and that, whatever. Again, back then, you didn't never saw pictures of it, nothing like that. But all my friends had that remote control watch.
Wow.
She came and she brought us the remote control. We're happy. Thank you, Amma, this, that, whatever. We opened it up. It's a fake version.
Oh, no.
Like, literally, like, it's a full write-off of the other one. So then we had to wait for an uncle to go. And it was like, you know, months later, he went, please. Wallah, he came back. He came back with version 2.
Hello.
Calculator and the thing all together, bro. We went absolutely.
What times are they?
I remember there was two scenarios. One, every time the teacher put in the tape, we'll press eject. She puts it in, eject. She puts it in, eject. She says, this thing's not working. Insane. And then finally, we made it work. Volume up, volume down. We put the volume up. When she walks away, she comes back, we put it down. Like, it was bad. And then the second time was with the librarian. She put this movie on. We fast-forwarded it towards just the end of the movie. And she came back. She goes, that movie finished quickly? We died. We used to walk to shopping centers off.
Everyone did that. Yeah,
Macca's. Yeah. I remember Macca's. No. So turn it off.
It was unbelievable that you'd lose your remote. You couldn't buy another remote. But that watch was able to control.
But you know what? Your watch can't do that, Neil.
No, there's apps that allow it to do it, but over the network. The actual watch. Not IR, not infrared, no.
Yeah, and your watch now, how advanced are the watches now, and you still can't turn on a TV. But back then, we're talking like in primary school.
You can with different kinds of technology, but not with infrared. Not in the way the remote control turns it on.
Different. Yeah, different. Through like Google Home or something like that. No. You know, inshallah, I think we've... anything else that you want to touch on?
Cover it all? It's been... a pleasure. Jazakallah khair for
nanotechnology.
Wait until we do a technology segment on hypercomputing and AI and all that stuff. We'll leave that for another time, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. Yeah. I know we drifted a bit, but you know, it's actually, this is not a medical session, it's a technology
program.
So, we touched on 70% of it related to medicine.
Reminiscing.
The other 30% was just random, subhanAllah. No. Two questions. Which country is the most advanced technology wise?
Mm.
And second of all, which country produces the most people that masalana into information technology? Like, you have the biggest company or the strongest country, and then you have also the ones that work behind the scene. What ethnicity you find most of them from?
In terms of the most advanced, you'd be surprised, subhanAllah. Some might think it'll be America or America or England or something like that. It's actually South Korea, one of the most advanced countries. Actually, it's their birthright to have fast internet. So internet is free on trains. Everywhere you go, you've got internet, you've got Wi-Fi. In terms of the most technology, I would say India. I don't know for sure, but India is, you see, Indians are either accountants, doctors, or IT. And, you know, subhanAllah, they're very good at what they do. Because
even now, if you want something, majority of time it's freelance to someone.
Even, we've developed an app for ASWJ called the ASWJ Companion. Inshallah, when the Masajid open up, you'll see a little bit more of that. But we developed it with brothers in Pakistan. Allah reward them. They very skillful. And you look at it, overseas here, you get charged about $1,600 per day, $1,600 to $3,200 a day per programmer per day to work on your program. Over there, it's $300, $350 US a day. And that's the comparison.
You can't beat that. I remember my
you can't beat that. Even if they make mistakes and you can't understand them and they can't understand you, and you tell them you want an app that turns blue and they give you one that turns yellow at first, but eventually you get there and it'll be cheaper.
I remember there was a brother that we needed the project, and he sent to someone in India on one of these freelancing sites that people bid on it.
Yeah.
Whatever. And he was only looking to see the responses. I don't know, a couple of people responded. Some guy actually made the program, sent him the link to the program, but a version that he can't, like it's a protected version. Told him, I've already made the program for you. If you're interested, let me know and I'll send you the program.
Yes.
And he hasn't even been paid yet, but he just did it and sent it to him.
Even the developers, may Allah reward them. Yani, they're our brothers and yani, they help us out. Yani, they obviously help themselves doing some things for the da'wah, but we wanted a second phase and gave them some ideas. They went and developed it and said, yeah, if you want to pay and go ahead, do it. If you don't want to do it, no problem.
The efficiency rate and the speed is... Yeah, like you can't match it. I don't guess.
No, subhanAllah. Yeah, and like overseas in the Southeast Asian countries, and especially you know the subcontinent, that people power is cheap. Like people don't get paid much, so they can put manpower on it. SubhanAllah.
Inshallah khair ya Rab. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and inshallah we'll continue this technology program. Another day. Inshallah, hopefully soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salam.